Well, we started a new series last week and also started a little bit of a different practice. At least we're just going to test it out during this time in February. I'm not going to put any Bible verses on the screen. And, you know, I want to make it easy for people to walk in and follow along, but also want to encourage us to be familiar with our Bibles, even if it's on just the phone or if it's in your paper Bible, whatever you prefer to use. But I don't want to shy away from saying, let's be the church and learn to dig in a little bit. And so if you'd like to follow along today, we're going to end in Romans 6. That's the main place we want to be, Romans 6. And I'm going to start off in Matthew 21. So if you don't want to flip, you can just go to Romans 6 and hang out there. If you want to start off with us, we'll be in Matthew 21 to begin with. We've been talking about God, I Want to Change. And that's a series right now. And it's just the idea that generally when people do something that is not good, and they get into a cycle, and they reap the benefits, the hardships that come along with that. Generally, I think the idea is they know that they're in something that they don't like, that's not good, and they do want out. How many smokers want to stop smoking? Okay, it's a shallow example, but just for example, how many people who overeat wish they wouldn't overeat? Okay, so just shallow examples, but applies to also much deeper things where, Lord, I'm stuck in this. I know it's not good. The consequences are draining me. God, I want to change. Something has to change, Lord. And that's the idea that we're chasing in this month of February, and also in a month where we're seeking the Lord in fasting and prayer. And so this week in our fast, we've been focusing on, Lord, I want personal revival in me. And so this coming week, as we're about to launch into this week, our fast is going to focus on, Lord, please, would you grant revival? Would you grant fresh new life and closeness with your Holy Spirit for all the believers at Indian Lake? And so just as we're focusing on that, we also want to think, man, Lord God, I want that change. And today we're going to talk about when change is life-changing. So there's lots of shallow things we could change. There's lots of good intentions we can have. There's lots of times where we start to do something good and we get in a good habit and it fizzles out and it never actually becomes life change. It was just a thing that we tried one time. Here's a famous saying, a popular saying. Let me see if you've heard this before. It says, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. Has anyone heard that before? Yeah. And it's not in the Bible. It's just kind of a well-quoted saying. Several famous people from a long time ago said it, and we think it might have originated with something with some guy called Saint Bernard of Clairvaux, but that's not exactly what he said. So, but the idea behind that is somewhat obvious. It's like people generally have good intentions. They have good intentions. They want to do good. They want to change, but somewhere along the way, nothing pans out, or they just never actually become doers, or they just, you know, they have good intentions, but they just love the other thing too much, and so they stay on the path that they're on. And that's the general idea behind all that. So last week we kicked off the idea with, if we ever want true change, if we want actual change, if we ever want to get out of the cycle, break the chain, those things that we struggle with, everything that's messing up life right now, every single one of them without compromise is always, always, always rooted in this word, in this idea of sin. It's not so much like if I studied a little bit harder, I'd get a little better grade. Now we're talking about the deeper things, the things that really affect our life. Every way that the world is broken right now is rooted in sin. And we also talked about from the beginning of the Bible all the way through to the very end, God's message has been singular in calling people to one thing, and that was repentance. And as this is sort of a continuation of last week, you could say this is a continuation part, or this is a repentance part B. Last week we went through repentance, and we said, you know, repentance literally means you change your mind. You change your thinking about something, okay? Oh, that's fine. You know, you might not like it, but it's okay for me. I'm going to do my thing. Okay, I'm starting to see this is not good. Okay, I'm pretty sure this is not good. Okay, this is definitely not good anymore. I'm changing my thinking. No, I'm not going to do that anymore. In fact, it's not acceptable for me anymore. So you change your thinking. That's literally what it means. But clearly what God meant is what much more than the literal meaning. And we talked about oftentimes people mean more than what they say. If I said, go hit the road, I don't actually mean for you to hit the road. That's what I said, but I meant more than that. I'm asking someone to leave, right? And so repentance means definitely more than just a change in your mind. And we had a quote from Spurgeon and some others. But repentance is definitely more, and it always means something more than just changing your mind. Something must change in your heart and in your actions as well. So to draw a little line here between our good intentions and repentance, I'm going to draw on Matthew 21. Matthew 21, near the end of the chapter, verse 28, Jesus tells a parable. And he's sort of drawing the line here, okay? And the people he's talking to were very holy people. He's talking to the Pharisees, and the people are sort of testing him. The crowds are sort of questioning him a little bit. And there are people who are familiar with John the Baptist. So he's going to draw back on their experience with John the Baptist. And here's what he said. He said, I'm going to tell you a little parable. He says, let's see what you think about this. A man had two sons. And he went to the first son. He said, son, I would like you to go and work in my vineyard today. And the first son said, no, I'm not going to do that, Dad. I'm not going to do that. Okay. But later, he changed his mind, and he went and did what his father said. In the same way, the father went to his second son, and he said, son, I want you to go and work in my vineyard today. And the second son said, yes, sir, I'm going to get right on that. But then later, he changed his mind, and he never did what his father asked him to do. Then Jesus says this. He said, which of the two did the will of the Father? And the crowd there, they answered him. They said, well, it was the first one. And Jesus said, truly I say to you, tax collectors and prostitutes are going to go into the kingdom before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But tax collectors and prostitutes, they believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe. So Jesus is saying, you know those tax collectors and those prostitutes, those people you look down on, and to them, tax collectors were just like the scum of the earth back then in these people's minds. I said, those people who don't go to church in a sense, those people who don't love God in a sense, they heard God's message from John. They heard it and they let it have the effect that it was intended to have. They changed their minds. They believed God. And now you know what? They're getting into the kingdom of God before you. Like, they're citizens of God's kingdom right now, today. And you're still questioning me. You've heard John, you've heard me. You're still on the fence, but they accepted God's message right away. They are like the son who, at first, they might not have said, I'm going to do what you say, Father, but they changed their minds right away, and they did the will of the Father. And Jesus sort of continues his rebuke. He said, you, on the other hand, you who act holy and pretend to be all good and stuff, you are sort of like saying to the Father, yeah, I'm with you, but you're not doing what he said. You're not actually obeying him. You're just saying, yes, I will. And oftentimes Jesus would make parables about fathers and sons, and Jesus would often make the bad son be like the Pharisees, the people that are listening, and he would make the good son like the people who were not very holy, but they heard God's message and responded. See, the Pharisees had lots of good intentions, but they didn't let it change them. And they didn't turn around, and they weren't following Jesus. They just continued on with their good intentions, still skeptical, still being super cautious, still clinging to their own ways, and they never had the life change. They never had true change. They had a shallow level of change that never really mattered and left them wanting and left them outside of the kingdom of God at that point. So, repentance. Repentance. If we want true life change, it all starts with repentance. Repentance is the first step. And so today we kind of want to get to, if that is the first thing, and I have good intentions, okay, Lord God, last week we talked about you have to grant it. You have to sort of give it to me a little bit. And let's just say, we're going to start right there, let's just say that maybe sometime during this past week, or maybe you're talking with someone, or maybe you're reading your Bible this week, and God's doing something in your heart, and you're like, oh, I need to change. Okay. At that moment, God is granting repentance, right? at the moment you're like, oh, that's something I need to work on. Lord God, I need to give that up, or I need to give that to you, or I need to start doing this. At that moment, God is granting repentance. And how many times do we just leave it right there, and we just leave it at good intentions, and we never ever change it, right? We never jump on it, okay? Now, there is a way that God instructs us to go about repentance. In fact, it's very common. It's not like we're going to pick out one verse and just hope that that's awesome enough to spread across all the whole message of repentance throughout the Bible. No, it's a pretty common way that God tells us to do repentance all throughout his word, and it helps us be successful in our good intentions. We hear God calling, and we want to change. We want to respond. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to sort of machine gun down through several verses. I want to see if you can pick it up for yourself, okay? So here's several verses about repentance. See if you can pick up the theme that God has talking about repentance, how he wants us to do it, okay? I'm going to start off with the words of Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew 3, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Okay, Jesus said in John 4, do not say there are still 4 months and then the harvest. Behold, lift up your eyes. The fields are white for harvest now. Paul said in Romans 9, the Lord will carry out his sentence upon the earth fully and without delay. Again, he told the Romans, do this, knowing the time. For it's already the hour that you should wake up from your sleep, for now salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. Paul told the Corinthians, he said, do you remember when God said that at the acceptable time that he listened and that on the day of salvation he helped us? Behold, says Paul, now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. He told the Thessalonians, you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord is going to come upon us like a thief in the night. The whole message of God and his message of repentance from the front of the Bible to the back, here's how he ends the whole book. Okay, let's go to Revelation. Last three, Revelation. He said, blessed is the person who reads this and hears these words and does them because the time is very near. Again, Revelation 3, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast to what you have so no one will take your crown. And how he ends the entire book. The very last two verses of your entire Bible say this. He who testifies, that's Jesus. Jesus says these things, I'm coming quickly. Amen, Lord. Come. Pick up a theme there. Pick up a theme. There's some urgency. Urgency. How should we approach repentance? There is an urgency in repentance. You know, when I was a kid, I would go to my grandma's house in the summertime, and she had, I don't know, she had like those, one of the big satellite dishes back then. That was like before people had all this cable and everything. She had one of those like humongous dishes in her yard. Like today, it'd be like embarrassing. Like no one has it anymore, right? Back then, it was awesome. Like, in fact, you drive by, you're like, whoa, grandma's got the dish. Not like that little thing. She had like the satellite dish looking thing, right? So she had all these channels. We had like 3 or 4 channels growing up. I go to grandma's house, she had the dish. And so I'd stay at her house for a week in the summer, and it was like, oh, 15 channels, right? And I noticed she'd have some of those channels where it had like that ongoing advertisement, right? Like it's like a whole show that's just an advertisement. And the whole show long, like for 40 minutes, it's like, supplies are limited, buy now, now, now. Like jump on it now. It's just like this total urgency, like it almost wears you out for 40 minutes. I'm like, why am I still watching this? What am I doing? I can't turn the channel. I'm stuck. And it wears you out. And it's like they're trying to sell you something. And I think sometimes the church now, we've sort of backed off of this urgency that is a true part of the gospel message because we're afraid it's kind of like that infomercial. We're afraid that if we have urgency, we're going to come off like a salesman. And the truth is, in this whole book, in God's whole written word that we have, he talks about all sorts of things. God gives us guidance and truth on all sorts of things, and almost on nothing does he say, urgently do this, urgently do that, except for one thing. He consistently has a message of urgency, and it's always about repentance. It's one of the keys that makes our repentance get traction, that we can actually reap some fruit and actually have true life change. Remember when I was in school, I was on the basketball team almost every year. I think every year except for one that they offered it, I was on the basketball team. And I was a mediocre player. And when I say mediocre, what I mean is I was terrible. I was a terrible basketball player. But I just loved it, you know? I didn't even play much, but I even liked practices. I just went. I just loved basketball. And this one year, we had one of those coaches. Well, he was, like, very competent. But he's one of those, like, coaches that are, like, dancing all over the sideline. He was, like, high energy. He's, like, yelling at people. You know, he's like, he'd get mad, like, make a substitution just like that. And it was just, it was all over the place. And he had a little bit of a temper. And for me, because I knew I wasn't that great, it was like a lot of pressure. And he just made me so nervous all the time. Well, anyway, we were in this game one time, and it was not going well. Okay, we were trailing the whole game. We weren't a great team anyway. We were good, but we weren't great. And so, like, it's like time for that halftime speech, right? And literally, I mean, it could have been a repentance message. It's like, something's got to change, right? We need change. I mean, he was like a preacher. And we're all like, yeah, we're going to change. We're going to go out there the second half. We're going to do it, right? And we're like all pumped up and fired up. And so he's like, listen, you got to do that. And you need to clean up this part, and you get on your job over there. He's like, and everyone, I want everyone, when it's defense, when they get the ball, you get your hiney back down to the other end of the court, and you beat them down every time. You be ready. We're going to have the best defense that we've ever had the second half of this game. It's well agreed. We're going to hustle. They're never going to beat us down the court. And so starts off the second half, and a miracle happened. He put me in, and I'm in the game the second half, and it's like, okay. Temper champ, my God, it's going to be so awesome. I want to score some points. I want the best defense ever. And it was like first play, like they come down the court, they shoot it, and they make a basket, and like they do like the little pass the ball and thing. And I'm like, oh man, this is great. And I'm just kind of wandering down the court, and it was like a crack of lightning across the entire gymnasium in front of the whole crowd, my parents, my family, everyone. I hear this, Brooks! Right? And he just shouts my name, the coach from way down there. I mean, and then I just like lit this path of fire, just like instantly. I had urgency, right? I mean, he yelled so loud, I think every Brooks in my family stood up in the bleachers and started running. It was just instant urgency. And I changed, right? It's like I didn't just have good intentions. Bam! It's like right now. And I jumped on it. And that was probably the last time I played for that coach. I don't know. That was terrible. But the idea was, it was his job to inspire some urgency when urgency was needed. We can't just talk about change or have good intentions. It does require us to jump on it right away. When God is granting repentance, we shouldn't hang around and just say, yeah, I'm going to do that someday. The time for his granting repentance might run out. We should jump on it while God is granting it. If you want to have successful life change, we need to grab our repentance with urgency. More than that, though, repentance is a change of mind, right? We know that part. God grants repentance. We should leap on it with some urgency, but more than that, also this. In Acts, it says, I've declared both to Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. They must turn to God. Repentance is a change of mind. It's a change of heart, like I don't like that anymore, and I feel bad about that, I have emotions, but it is an act of the will. True change will happen when it is rooted in my heart and will, not just my thinking. Not just my thinking. John the Baptist said this. He said, hey, produce fruit in keeping with your repentance. Don't just think about it. Don't just want it. Don't just agree with it. Be a doer. Be a doer. So my brother and I, we kind of have this reputation a little bit of just our cars are always just so filthy. I just never cared. It's just like, it was just a tool to me, right? We used to make a joke that my brother in the backseat of his car, that the trash on the floor was as high as the seat in the backseat, right? And we just, you know, and I always made excuses. I made these excuses. I say, well, my car's like my second office, right? Yeah, it's like a working zone. right? That's where I get stuff done. And I always had stuff in the seed, never cleaned, it was just junk. So what I decided was a little experiment here. I thought last week, I was like, you know what? I'm going to take a long-term habit. This is how I've treated my car my whole life. I'm going to say, I'm going to repent of this, in a sense. And I'm going to have a clean car. And so, first day, I like kick Lisa's van out of the garage. I pull my car in the garage, like sweep it out, wipe her down, take all the junk out. I'm like, holy moly, how much stuff am I have to throw away here? And really, it didn't really take that long. I just had to do it. Okay. And the next day was so great. I get my car the next morning. It was like, man, this is like new car to me. This is great. This is so nice. Right. And I go to work, have my day. Well, the next morning I get in my car and I realize the day before I must have thrown some trash on the floor. I'm like, how did I do that? I don't even remember doing that. See, I had this habit. Right. So my trash is sitting there on the floor. I'm like, oh. I'm like, I hate trash on the floor. I don't know what to do with it. I didn't have any new habits how to take care of that trash. So I picked it up and I'm driving with this trash in my hand because I didn't want it in my car. I'm like, well, what do people do with their trash in the car? I have no idea. So it was in my hand. And so I just shoved it in the pocket of my coat. So after 3 days, my coat pockets had like 5 things of trash in them. And this is me like, how do normal people do this? And so I finally started developing some new habits. When I brought something in my car, maybe if I ate out or if I used something in a car and I had some junk, you know, I would put my pockets in. As soon as I saw a trash can, I would start to throw it away, right? I would start to just throw it away instantly. I'd clean those pockets, right? Or if I got out like my car charger, as soon as I parked the car and I was done, I'd make sure I wrapped it back up and put it back away. It was like work. It's like work. And then I noticed this. After about 5 days, I'm driving down a highway and I notice my back seat's a mess again. There's trash in the passenger seat again. And I think to myself, man, I had all these good intentions. What is happening? What is happening? What's happening is it can't just be their good intention. It can't just be that trying one time. That God has given us a lifestyle of repentance. He's called us to the struggle a little bit, where I have to, with my will, continue to be a doer of what I decide to do in my heart. Lord God, I see me getting angry, or I see that my compromising what I watch on TV, or I see how I have gossiped about that person, or whatever it is, or I see that, and I stop doing it. But when it comes back, I'm going to engage my will again, and I'm going to choose again to say, no, no, I'm still a doer. Just because I failed, it's not over. And if I want to have true change, I'm just going to have to keep being a doer and a doer and a doer, and I'll start to learn those new habits. Jesus even says this. He says, so watch yourselves. If your brother or sister sins against you, you know, rebuke them. Not like a stranger, not like a non-Christian, but someone who says that they're a follower of the Lord and they sin against you, you know, say, hey, and I don't appreciate that. I mean, we're supposed to be on the same team here. Rebuke them, okay? Let them know. And if they repent, forgive them. Here's the thing, though. Remember, other people are probably going through this too. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. I think it's important to remember we're working through our repentance, but so is everyone else, right? And so is my wife, and so are my kids, hopefully, and so are my coworkers, and so are other people in the church. Other people are working through that too, and it might take some time. They haven't developed the habits. Their car just gets dirty again because they have to develop the new habits, and it's hard. And sometimes repentance, if it's true life change, it's just going to take time. It's going to take continually engaging my heart, you know, my mind, and my will, over and over. And it's a form of weakness, really. And God knows that. And it's okay. He He's hoping that we're going to go back to him and say, Lord God, I need your help. Lord God, I need to repent again. And I recognize who I am and how good you are. And I remember once again that I need you and your goodness because I am not that good. So it's an act of the will. It's a part of your heart. It's part of your intentions. And finally this, Romans 6. If you'd like to follow along, we're going to start in verse 4. Last thing. Romans 6, starting in verse 4. This is Paul writing to a church that he hopes to visit someday. And he's so excited to get there. And he's sort of laying it out. He's laying out life change. Paul says, starting in verse 4, he had been talking about baptism. He says this. He says, we were buried, therefore, with Jesus by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, that we too might also walk in the newness of life. So he's now drawing a line between our new life and baptism. And so when someone comes to Christ, we often celebrate that with baptism. And we take them out, maybe to the lake, or we have a dunking tank or something here, and we go through the motions of, they say, I am joining with Christ, and they go under the water, right? And they come back up. And that seeing those two acts is important in drawing a line between what Christ did and what we're doing now. Okay, I'm going under the water. Like Christ, I'm dying. My old self is dying. It's like I'm being buried. I'm going down the old person. And now I'm coming up, washed and clean. That old person is dead and a new person is coming up, coming out of the water like a baby being born, right? In a new life, I'm being born again. Just like Christ was buried, and he rose up again. And that's baptism. And now Paul's now drawing a line here. He said, just like for all of us who are baptized, remember, our old selves died. We died with Christ that day. And we are also rising to new life with him. Verse 5. And we want to get to verse 11. That's our goal. For if we have been united with him in a death like that, then we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection. So not just does the old die, but Jesus is also giving us a new life, the new life change. Okay. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. Okay, I want to break this chain. I want to get out of the cycle. I want that old part of me just to die, just like Jesus did with Jesus. Okay. For the one who has died has been set free. Now, if we have died with Christ, here comes the good part, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, he will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The bad stuff can't beat me anymore. For the death he died to sin once and for all, but the life he lives to God. So, you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. Life transforming change can happen for me when two things. One, I want to continually consider myself dead to the old thing. Continually remember that. That's why Paul's reminding them once again. They said, you were baptized, but it wasn't like a set it and forget it kind of thing. You were baptized, the old self died, the new self rised up, and I'm reminding you. And we're supposed to encourage each other over and over and over again. I'm going to let the old thing die. So just like tomorrow morning when I get in my car and I go to leave some trash in there, I'm say, no, the old way is dead. I don't do that anymore. I don't do that anymore. If I have a temper and my temper gets ready to flare and I'm ready to yell at my friend or my coworker or something, I say, nope, I don't do that anymore. That's not part of who I am anymore. Now I'm going to continually bury that guy. But when we wipe off all the bad stuff, we must replace it with the new life, with the new thing. And number two, I must continually consider myself alive to God in Christ. I'm going to replace the old stuff with the good stuff you know what? If my thing is holding a grudge and I'm going about my day doing my thing and I remember that someone hurt me and I'm holding a grudge, I'm going to say no. I'm putting that away. Now I'm going to stop and I'm going to replace it with a new life in Christ. I'm going to start doing it God's way instead. Okay. No, I forgive that person. And here comes the good part. I'm going to replace it with this. You know what? I'm going to start praying for that person. I want to love them like God loves them. I can't just kill the old guy or you'll walk around dead, right? You'll walk around dead inside. You'll walk around struggling forever. You must replace them with the new person, with the new you, with the life of Christ that God has for you. And so in every little thing, maybe it's your finances, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's being faithful to your boss and your company at work, being faithful to how you do school. Whatever that thing is, wherever God's calling you to repent, like let it have the full work and just keep burying that old guy. Nope, you know what? I don't do that anymore. That's not who I am. But don't forget the good part. Replace it with the new life. You know, and if you have to continually bury the old and continually prop up the new guy, if you can continually do that, God will continually grant you that repentance and you can have true life change. And I think that's why God calls us to meet together regularly. Like, I want you to worship together every single week. I want you to disciple your children every single day. I want you to encourage each other regularly. He says, never stop coming together and encouraging each other. And keep propping up that new life and encouraging the person who's sitting beside you or the person who's in the car with you going home today and the person who's at your house and at your job. Continually draw us to say, nope, I'm putting that old thing to death. Continually encourage us to say, you know what? I'm going to do it the new way now. The new way now. You know? So I'd like to wrap it up with this. This week I will. This week I will. Here's your challenge. Whatever God's calling you to repentance in, if you have to, if you failed 1,000 times, you know, start at the beginning. God, will you grant repentance to me in that? Lord God, I need some help there. I've tried before and I need you. I need you, Lord God, grant that. Okay, and when God grants it, here's the thing. Don't just have good intentions. Okay, I feel a little bit convicted. I'm all better now. You know, when God starts to grant that inside of you, jump on it tenaciously. Attack it. Get a hold of it. Man, that's new life right there. That's your chance at the new life. I will urgently do it. I will apply my heart, my will, and my thinking. Okay? I'm going to think differently about it. I might have to think differently about a person or the way I do something. And I'm going to do it. And I'm going to continually consider myself dead to the old thing, and I'm going to continually consider myself alive to God through Christ Jesus. So, as you go back to your week tomorrow and that thing comes up, put to death the old thing, but man, have the new thing waiting, right? Are you going to pray for someone? Are you going to have to do something new? Are you going to have to change your habits? Are you going to have to ask God to give you some guidance? Are you going to need help for that? Are you going to need to replace an old friend with a new friend maybe? Maybe you know if you continually go to that guy, he's going to lead you down the wrong path. Maybe I need to not just say no to him. Maybe I need to find a new person, a better influence too. Whatever it is, let's do it with urgency, right? And let God's repentance have its true effect and not just have good intentions, but let's have true life change, right? And I wanted to share this one last verse with you. I almost forgot. Go home with this encouragement today. I wanted you to hear that this is out of the Bible, not just something some guy said. Acts 3 says this, repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out and that times of refreshing might come from the presence of the Lord. That's the kind of life change that is waiting that God has for us. That's why he has repentance. He wants the new life for us and he's on our team. Would you stand and pray and we'll get to worship. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much, Lord, for repentance. God, we understand that you grant it. The repentance comes from you. And God, we seek it and we ask for, Lord God, Lord, give us the urgency. If you have to be the coach at the other end of, the gym this week, Lord God. Call us, remind us to jump on that repentance as soon as you grant it, Lord. Lord God, if I have to continually, every day, put down the old and bring up the new, Lord God, I pray you give every person here the strength and the courage to do that in every part of their life, Lord. As you call us to give our whole lives to you, Lord, grant repentance this week. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.